Right, we're, Lord willing, going to be, can you imagine, in the 11th chapter again this evening. And we left off in the 8th verse, and again this wonderful faith book of fame. And by the grace of God, the treasure, the riches, the promise, that's where it will be built in, is in faith in our wonderful Savior. And again, in looking at this, I'm kind of a sport guy myself, and thinking about how they have all the different Hall of Fames and the abilities of those men and women in those different Hall of Fames for sports, whether it's at Canton, Ohio, or whatever it is. And I got to thinking how they had wonderful abilities in themselves as far as how they could throw a ball or run or the different things. And isn't it wonderful to know that to be in this fame of Christ and faith, it's His ability. Isn't that so anti the world? It's His ability in us. And I'm so thankful for that, that it's not relying on me for anything. I rely on God. And by the grace of God, He's giving us something so much more than even these wonderful brothers and sisters that we're reading about. But Lord willing, let's get into the 8th verse tonight. I hope that we can, by His grace, examine most of Abraham here. And there'll be quite a few verses about him and his family. And let's read the 8th through the 10th verse, and that's where we'll begin this evening. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Now, all of these verses that we read, Lord willing, of faith have had such wondrous meaning. And maybe I'm going to sound like a broken record, because every time you get to one, you say, "Boy, that just has so much meaning to me." It grabs my heart in such a special way. But especially in this 8th verse where it says, "By faith we obey." I just think that's so magnificent. I believe that He is. I believe that He said it. I believe that God cannot lie. I believe that this is the sovereign word given to men by the Holy Spirit for me. This is God's word. And that's how, by the grace of God, we need to approach Him, that He is. That He is I am. That He is for me. That all things work together for good to them that love God. That He'll perfect that which concerns me. That's faith. No matter where we're at, no matter what we're in, I can't worry about the other guy. I can't worry about the other life. Like the Lord been dealing with me, even about my children, I have to leave them on the altar. I have to leave my wife on the altar. By the grace of God, I seek Him for my own. You go with God on your own. I go with God on my own. And by the grace of God, then we're united together. Then we have unity in the Spirit. And that's the beautiful thing about the Lord. But by faith, we obey. And we go out not knowing where we're going. Yet the journey with God will always end in the land of promise. And believe it or not, when you're even in that journey, you're in the land of promise because you're with Jesus. It's just like people say, "Well, are you excited about going to heaven?" Sure, I'm excited about going to heaven. But I found out that, yes, heaven in a sense is a place. But that place where heaven is where Jesus is. And when I'm dwelling with the I Am, when I'm dwelling with the King of Kings, when I'm dwelling with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm there. I am there. And I hope by the grace of God we can see that we are with Him. Now, Abraham believed God, and that was counted righteousness for him. Let's turn over to Romans and we'll read that. That's Romans chapter 4. And in Romans chapter 4, that'll be verses 1 through 4. It says, "What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." See, many people, again, think that there was a difference in how people were saved in the Old Testament, saved in the New Testament, and saved today. Still by the blood. Think about it. There's no, there is nothing, there's no way we can go to God but by the blood. And it was counted unto him for righteousness, not because of his works, not because of anything that he did, except believing God. And then it goes on in that fourth verse and it says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And that's going on with God. So you think about that. Again, don't get yourself tied up into being as those Galatians, which, you know, ye did run well. Now who hinders you? Having begun in grace, now you're going to be made perfect by the works of the flesh? Who hath bewitched you? Don't go and get into that. Again, by the grace of God, it is His grace that He gives us this faith to believe Him. And how fitting that every moment of our lives, by the grace of God, we should believe Him for everything. And that is our righteousness. Abraham let God be his choice. He let God be his power. And when we let God be our power, it's so wonderful we overcome in this world. He has made us to victory. Do you know that? He really has. He's created you for victory in your life. And I'm not just trying to pep you up. I'm not trying to give you positive thinking. I hope you understand. If He be for you, who could be against you? I don't care again what situation we're facing. I don't care as they say, oh, look what's laying against me right now. If God be for me, who can be against me? Do you know that you're the apple of His eye? Do you rest in that? Do you rest in that He is, again, He's your high tower, He's your buckler, He's your shield, He's your everything. On and on and on what God is to us, and that equates to everything. Knowing that He is faithful is putting our confidence in Him. And when we venture out into the unknown, it truly is with Him. It's the depths of His love. And by faith, again, it says that we sojourn. And as we studied so many weeks ago, that is to be still and to know that He is God. We persevere in the patience of God, knowing that where He has put us, it is perfect. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're in the place? If you're in the will of God, let me tell you something. If you're in the will of God, you're in the perfect place. And you say, how do I know I'm in the will of God? Well, there's a rest He gives you, doesn't it? Hallelujah. It truly says, remember what we read back in the, I think it was the fourth chapter. He says, he who has ceased from his own works has entered into rest. And again, that's God's wonderful rest. And what was that showing? That was after He created everything. Everything was done. And He completely laid it in His Son's hands. It's all in my Son. God rests in His Son. Now, why can't I rest in His Son? Isn't that precious to know that that is where all confidence, that's where everything is going to be put into the hand of His wonderful Son? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for giving me that encouragement to your Son. So He leaves the familiar. This is our Abraham here. He leaves his land. He leaves most of his kindred. You know, he brought Lot with him and some of the things that he wasn't supposed to. And it was kind of a thorn in his flesh. But he seeks the blessing of the promise of God. And you know, as I was thinking about this again, you go with God and you have to leave it behind. The Lord has really been encouraging me, and you've heard it a few times here lately. Is my all on the altar laid? Or am I playing with God? Am I holding back pieces of my life? He's dealing with me in a mighty way, and I know He's dealing with you as well, too. Is it all out there? There's a finishing work that's going on right now. And I need to, and you need to trust Him for everything in your life. That's the full overcomer. I don't want to be partial. I don't want to just give Him pieces, because then it's still a wreck. And it just affects another piece and another piece. Why does the Word of God say even a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? See, I get into those types of things and then I'll start accumulating more junk. Wood, hay, and stubble accumulates very fast. It's a mighty thing. It can get big and people like it and they like to run around it and say, ooh, look what I'm building. God, again, is looking for precious stone. It's in that still, small voice. It wasn't in the rocks that were rent in twain and all of those things that were mighty and wonderful. It's in the voice. It's in the Word of God. That's your inheritance. It's not in all of these exciting things that sometimes that the flesh likes to see. And I found out that the exciting thing really to me is the love of God. And it's beyond excitement because it gets me into a place you can't really, you've got to taste and see that the Lord's good for yourself. You've got to enter into that kind of relationship with Him. And yes, the Lord was just dealing with me. He says, well, son, maybe there's just even some things that you can say that even aren't lawful. Just some of the things I'm just so revealing to your life. It's just so wonderful that I couldn't even begin to explain it. I couldn't even begin to tell you. But by the grace of God, when we enter into that, it's just like even in the natural. How do I explain, and I'm thankful I can say this, how do I even explain my marriage? I'm serious. I have a wonderful marriage. I'm thankful for that marriage. God gave me that marriage. We seek God in that. How could I even explain that? Well, how do you love your wife? You know, let me count the ways. They're numerous. And I'm not trying to get mushy on you here. And men, take some notes. But no, I'm just teasing. But again, how could I even explain that? And that's a wonderful gift of God. How much more? How much more is He? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But He seeks again that blessing. And God has so blessed us with so much more here tonight. And He's calling us today in that same way. And so key to that continuing fellowship with God in the strange land. And let me tell you something. That strange land is this world. Do you realize that? That is the analogy. That's the symbolism. That's the sign. That's the type that we are not of this world. It even says in the Word of God, we're aliens here. You feel out of place, you're probably in the right place. But you're in the land of famine when we're in this world. In the land of separation. And the key to continuing fellowship is the altar. As you read this, as you read about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, which is so amazing, God gave them that Canaan. Okay, He gave them that land. But did you always notice they always dwelt in a tent? They didn't build a big house with a permanent foundation and all those different things, did they? They were tent dwellers because that wasn't the city that they were seeking, was it? That was the promise that God had given them. But the promise that God had given them was the heavenly. Hallelujah. That is your promise. So I say, don't get down on things. Some things don't seem to go right for you. Your life hasn't been planned out the way you planned it out. It's not achieving that. You're not achieving incomes. You're not achieving this. I'm not saying, hey, look, feel better about being a failure. I'm not going there or anything. But again, are you in God's plan? Are you in God's way? Do you realize what you have in Him? Can't you tarry just a little while longer? Can't you cast off some of that by the grace of God, the lust of that flesh, reckon it dead, and get on with God? Quit being selfish. You're robbing yourself by being selfish. I'm talking to me. I rob myself by being selfish. With things that I think I need, things that I think I still have to put in my life. Oh, it sounds so good. It seems so right. And the big one is, oh, it feels good to me. Those things will rob you. And this time is short. And He wants you for His own. And all He's asking you to do is just to step into it, to step in with Him. To go with God and the promises that He'll give you, the glory and the joy that He'll give you in your life is truly unspeakable and full of glory. But His home, His true home, as I read through this, and it really struck me, wherever He pitched that tent, He built that altar, didn't He? Isn't that wonderful? See, it was the worship. And when He entered in that worship, He was home with God. When you say, Jesus, help me, just like say, come boldly before the throne of grace. When I say, Jesus, I love you, I'm in the throne room. I believe we're standing in the presence of the King right now. I know we are. We're gathered in His name. He's here. We're there. I'm seated in the heavens in Christ Jesus. I shut my eyes and I say, Lord, I'm thankful. In my heart, I know I can see God and I can see You and I can see God's favor on my life because I'm His son. That's not fantasy. That's real. That's what God has for His children. That's what God has for us. You think you don't have anything to live for? Oh, I'll tell you, you have everything to live for because you have Jesus Christ. But again, Abraham always built the altar. He sought God. Then as today, the true worshiper worships how? In spirit and in truth. It's worship and it's the Word of God. And through this fellowship of really knowing God, we then walk through the land and we dwell and live the promise. We are children of the King. We're sons of God. We're heirs of the promise. And if we lay a hold, as we talked about Sunday, of the infinite grace of God, we may even enter into a joint heirship with Jesus Christ. Mom just brought me another book on the solar system, and I was just watching NASA again the other day, and those pictures, and how fantastic. And as they look out further, they see more and more and more and more. And it just excites me, because everything that will be seen with this eye is going to disappear. And that is greatness. That's temporal. The forever is the things that are unseen. Can you imagine the exceeding riches of His grace? I know we have some real cerebral types. My wonderful little cousin Ray back there, just wonderful minds. I know Robert as well, too. And a lot of these guys and ladies as well, too, that have some wonderful minds and see these things and all of that. But, you know, you start thinking about God and your mind just stopped. You can't get there. If you think you can get there, you need to get on your knees, because you ain't there. Because it's just foolishness. But when you can stand back, and there were some comments in that book of John Glenn just saying, as he went up again and he was in, I think, that discovery, he looked out there and he just said, when people can't see this and see the handiwork of God, he says, I feel sorry for them. How could you not see it? Oh, it's just there was a plan. There was a wonderful plan out there. This world is good. And he rested and he says, it was good. But do you realize who you are? That's the real plan. I don't understand it. I don't even try to understand that one. But He told me so. And I believe it so. It's so dear to me. I just, again, was praying this afternoon and I said, you know, and I'm sure you said it many times, Lord, why me? But thank You. Thank You so much that You've caused my heart to love You. I'm going after that heart of Yours. I want it. I do. I want it. And I believe there's many here that want that heart. And it's so worth it. It's so worth it. Lay aside every weight. Run, brother, run. Oh, what encouraging words the Word of God is to our life. But by faith, he had the vision of the continuing city. And again, asking and encouraging us to look up, just like our wonderful brother Abraham. Are we looking for our redemption? Is the coming of the Lord really paramount in our life? Is that what we wake up to? Do you think the Lord could come today? I believe a lot of us have that here. I believe He's working on us that way. Are we longing to see Him? Do we live for the trumpet sound? Does face to face just thrill your heart and soul? Is that what's on our tongue? Praise God. The 11th verse, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. See, she believed Christ was faithful, the woman of almost 100 years, and she denied the promise because she gave that handmaid to her husband, laughed at God. And yet, by the grace of God, she's mentioned in the Faith Hall of Fame. I guess there's still hope for me. How about you? Isn't that something? See, when God's after you and He wants to finish you, He never gives up on you, does He? Hallelujah. He gave her great faith. And Sarah represents grace. And note this too, that in that representing of grace, the heir will only come from grace. See, it wasn't going to come from Hagar. It wasn't going to come in that seed. It had to come through grace. If we get anything in this life, it's going to come through grace. If we're going to have any growth in God in this life, it's going to come through grace. And again, He gave her strength for it. That strength that's so important that's seen in Revelation 3:8. It says, thou hast a little strength. That's the strength that believes the Word of God and doesn't deny His name. And that's the strength that delivered the promise. And as I thought on this, I thought, what promise is in faith? Because nothing is impossible. And all my spiritual blessings, they're there. But they come alive to me in faith, don't they? Just like we were talking about. You know, I don't have to name it and claim it. It's done. Do you believe that? It's done. I don't name it and claim it. It's just done. I just have to take it. And there's a difference there. The provision has been made. My prayers have been answered. He knows my thought afar off, again, as I was praying again today. But you know, He loves to hear the praises of my lips. He does. He loves to hear that. He loves to hear my heart praise Him and to talk to Him and to say, Lord, you know You already know this, but let's be redundant here. I'll give it to You again. Here's the problem. Here's my situation.
you know. But thank you for the comfort. Thank you that you're real to me. And I think the Lord's speaking to a lot of folks here tonight. Sure is speaking to me. I thank Him for it. But she by faith knew that He was faithful. This was a strong woman. See, women can be strong. And the strong woman that I'm talking about is strong in the Lord. Read through the Word of God. If you're wondering what a woman should be, the Word of God gives you the virtuous woman, the beautiful woman, everything about it. And you know what, men? That life really applies to you as well, too, in a lot of ways. It's trusting God. It's His strength. And there's a beauty in that strength. But she had quite a personality here. She really did. Look at her boldness with her husband, giving her that handmaid, laughing at God, all of those things. And she judged God. And she considered God to be completely faithful. Completely faithful. Now, it took her a lot of time to get to completely faithful, almost 100 years, didn't she? And I'd have to tell you, when you put me in that kind of pickle and thinking on those kind of things and saying, hey, yeah, oh, sure, Abraham, God's going to make you this, sure. And my womb? Oh, yeah, sure. And I'm going to go out and run a marathon, too, huh? You think? I think she's that kind of lady. I really do. I think she'd give it right back to him. But you know what? By the grace of God, and she represented grace, she considered him completely faithful. And by grace, may I yield to consider him. May we yield to consider him completely faithful. Not partially, but completely. In all things. Whether I'm abounding, whether I'm abased, to be content and to know that He is faithful. As I was thinking about that again, you hear about antidepressants, don't we? That's the greatest antidepressant there will ever be, is when your faith is in Him. He can lift you above anything. Above anything. Yeah. I don't have to have positive thinking when I have the mind of Christ, because it's overcoming. It's beyond. As my little boy said, it's way. I just can't even describe it. I just so love that. It seems so fitting. But she knew that He was faithful. She judged Him faithful. And again, that's the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 12. Therefore sprang there even of one. And notice that, of one. And him as good as dead. I guess, you know, old Abraham was getting pretty old there too. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. And you think the Bible tells us that we are the spiritual offspring. We are the spiritual offspring of Abraham and Sarah. And so mighty were the wonders that were given to them that we should expect at least the same to us. And I'm going to tell you, it's really more that He's given us. And I hope we see that we're living in this church age and He is getting together a people for His name's sake. And that was the wonder of Abraham's promise of multiplied blessing. It sprang from one. And it sprang from one when he was 100 years old. And that's God. Don't ever limit God. Don't ever think that it's too far, too high, His arms too short. You're dealing with God. He can give you love for things that you never thought you could love. He really can. He makes ways out of no ways. I just so appreciate Him again. It's that small voice that's the greatness. It's the weak that confounds the wise and the mighty. And God loves nothing more than to test our faith. And this was it. He says, I'm going to bless you as the stars of the heaven, and yet I'm only going to give you one son. Now, God didn't even need to give him a son to bless him as the stars in the heaven. He could have done it another way. He could have done it any way he wanted. But I so appreciated he gave him that one son to do it. And that's where the promise was, because that was the seed of grace. He feeds the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, didn't he? He feeds Elijah and that family with just a handful of meal and a little bit of oil. But this is God, again, we're talking about. They said He's the God of impossible. He's beyond impossible. I hope we understand that. You limit Him when you just say He's the God of impossible. He's just beyond that. He's the way out of no way. And His Word always comes to pass because what He says May we just consider it to be so.
Hallelujah.
Now 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And these that we're talking about here is the Abraham, the Sarah, the Jacob, and the children of Israel that were seeing God. And they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to return. See, if they were thinking about that country, they may have gone back if they were mindful of that. But you know what they were mindful of? They desired a better country. And that is a heavenly country. And let this so speak to you tonight. Whatever you're seeking after, if it's not God, you're seeking the wrong thing. If you're caught up into other things, really, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're missing the best. You're missing the better portion. It's just like old Martha. She was running around there, and it was wonderful to think about Jesus. It was wonderful to be around Jesus. It was wonderful to serve and to do all these different things that she was doing. But Mary was the better part. And see, most Christians don't understand that, because what were they doing? They were insulting her. They were saying, well, you're not doing anything. You're not helping the world. You're not going saving everybody. You're not doing this. Do what the Word of God says. Understand the Word of God. Rightfully divide it. That time when all the world's going to be saved, that's not this time. When they're all going to know God, that's not this time. This is the time that He's preparing. There's a bride. Creation's groaning for the manifestation of the Son of God. I hope you understand that. There's a group getting ready that's going to meet Him in the air. And this is what we're preparing for. This is this time. His grace still abounds. And yes, there are people getting saved, and it's wonderful. There's people that are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's really wonderful, because then you step into being able to understand all truth. But that just doesn't get it there. It's a life that's yielded. It's a life that wants to run in patience of Him, that wants to run hand in hand with Him, that fellowships with Him, that worships Him in spirit and in truth. Such a lovely pair. Such completeness. Sufficient witness. If you think about it, that's the sufficient witness that's going to say, that sufficiently witnessed, there's my bride. Spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. I just marvel at the completeness of God. Thank you, Lord. But that they might have opportunity of return, but they now desire a better country that is in a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Now remember, God is never ashamed of you. If you're a child of God, He is not ashamed of you, because you're His son. Okay? You're His child. The blood is on you. Now we can be ashamed of ourselves. We can see our failures. We can see a lot of these things. But God loves you. He is for you always. And He is searching for you always if you're outside the kingdom. He goes and finds that lost lamb, doesn't He? Sometimes He's got to break a little leg and throw it over His shoulder. Hinder you a little bit to keep you still. Huh? Amen. All right. Don't tell me you're always walking with God. It don't work that way. But He's always there for you. Thank you, Lord. But in that section that we just read here, there's seven wonderful statements of faith in these verses regarding Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob. The first one is, by faith they received the promises. You're never going to inherit the glory on this earth. And there's glory on this earth. There really is. And that's God working in you. This is reward time. I hope we understand that. We're picking up these rewards by the grace of God. And He's going to be with His reward when He comes and gets us by the grace of God. Nor are we ever going to get and inherit the glory which is to come without faith. We got to believe it. They have to be your own, not somebody else's. That faith has to be your own. And I had to tell you, I thought a little bit about, a lot of it, I always do, but a lot of it on this one, about Brother Hill's life. And I've been here for, 40 years, maybe consciously for 30, 20, I don't know. I'm just teasing. But, that's about marriage. No, I got to stop. All right. Got to get back on it, Jess. Okay. But thinking about Brother Hill, and how wonderful that life and that testimony. And I saw throughout the years how many people, their faith was in that man. I'm telling you, their faith was in that man. Now, there were many people that were very concerned that, oh, well, the Lord is going to take Brother Hill home. What's going to happen to the meeting? Well, thank God. Thank God, not you. I thank God, and I thank God in my life as well, too, that that faith is His faith. That faith is in Him, and that's where our confidence lies. As I saw over the years, the ones that had the confidence in Brother Hill, I don't see him here anymore. And it's a shame. It's wonderful to admire. It's wonderful to mark them and see the examples in our life and the different people that have gone our way. But you know what? These are the same brothers that I have and sisters here, whether it was Ruth or Esther or Moses or whoever it was. But they're not my faith. They're a wonderful example to me. And by the grace of God, I get excited about that. I love to see my brothers and sisters grow in the grace of God. But this is my faith that Jesus Christ has given me. And it's in Him. And I can't put my confidence in man whose breath's in his nostrils because they're always going to disappoint me. And there's sometimes they're not going to be there. And we're seeing in a big way, it wasn't because of Brother Hill's doing. The Lord was ready to take him home. Now, I can't put my faith there, or there's not faith there. The faith has to be in Him. I need to make it by the grace of God my own. My own. So by faith, they received the promise. By faith, they saw them afar off. And that's so significant that even with all the natural blessings of Canaan, God may increase you, but never lose sight of the heavenly. And I thought about it again. Never lose sight of the producer of the miracle instead of the miracle. Again, being like Israel when they were coming out. They saw the miracles. And that's wonderful. I love to see the miracles of God. I love to see healing. I love to see faith. I love to see all of these different things. But it's the supplier. It's the producer of it. That's who draws me. That's my attraction. That's where I want to be. I want to see that. See, when I want to see evidences of things, that's not where it is. It's Christ Jesus. I believe that He is. And then He opens it up to me. You see the difference? That's when you know the ways of God. That's when you know, like we were talking about, as Moses did, he knew the way. Praise God. Okay, next. By faith, they were persuaded. And again, are we persuaded? Are we convinced that He is able to keep that which we've committed unto Him against that day? And again, that goes back to my precious brother over there. He said again to me, as far as I know, son, God's still on the throne. And I'm so thankful. It's so simple, isn't it? It's the absolute most simple statement there is. As far as I know, God's still on the throne. I mean, it really is enough said, isn't it? And I just have to step back in awe and say, Lord, You're still on the throne for me. Now let's get on with it. It's in Your hand. I can face tomorrow. I can face today. I can face anything You want me to face because You're on the throne. By faith, they embraced them. Not only did they see the promises, but they embraced them. This is the Word working effectually in our life. The evidence of grace and faith and virtue, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness and love. When we embrace it, again, it becomes our own. It's not someone else's faith. I don't rely on God because of my wife, because of my preacher, because of my teacher, because of my friend. God sometimes, as we were talking about on Sunday, He's got to take that out of your life so He can fill it. He may not be giving you that person to be within your life right now. Because He wants to fill that. I'm just telling you. It's so true. He may not be giving you that job that you're always desired in your life. Because He wants to fill that. And I think I've told you this in a lot of ways. I loved music. I really did. That was the thing I loved. God opened up that door for me. I went to Europe and I sang. And I thought, man, this is great. All the doors were open. I'm going to be an opera singer. This is what God has made for me. And I know He opened the door there. I believe He had me to train for it and all of those different things. He sovereignly told me that was it. Boom. I was there for a little over a month. He said, this isn't for you. It was like hearing the voice of God. I'm just telling you. And I just looked at Paula and I said, we're going home. She said, that's fine with me. So she was ready to go home a lot sooner than I was, I thought. But that was it. And God took me back here. Okay, God, what am I going to do? I mean, in a lot of ways, I'm not trying to act funny. I didn't really have any other skills. I hadn't had any other training. I'm able. So he gave me things to do. Have had a really nice company all over these years. I've got to work with some wonderful people, a wonderful environment, all of these different things. But I'm going to tell you something. Never loved what I did. God took me away from something I loved to do. I'm just telling you. Do I regret it at all? Absolutely not. Was there even a moment, and I'm telling you the truth, that I really, really missed it, that I had to get back to it? No. I still enjoy it, but I know I'm in God's will. I know I'm where He wants me to be. And I can tell you truthfully, I've never loved anything in a sense that I've ever really done. I like to fly. I like to do all these things. He's my love. And He showed me that, you know, so many years back. Because I'd talk with Him. And I'd say, well, why isn't there something that I really, really love, that I'm really doing or something like that? He says, because I'm trying to get a hold of you to love me more. Because I've got something for you someday, son, that's going to be so amazing. Can you imagine that? Now, if He's given you something to love in life, I'm not trying to make you feel bad about it. Thank Him for it. And that's wonderful. But put it in its place. Don't let it get before God. I'm telling you, don't let it get before God. And I'm talking about anything and everything in your life. Whether it's a thing, whether it's a person, relationship, whatever it is, don't let it get before God. There's no reason for it to. And you'll enjoy it more when it is that. You'll treasure it more in that regard. Don't know how we got there, but something needed to be said. But by faith, they confessed the pilgrim life. They were sanctified. Oh, hallelujah. You're sanctified. You're set apart. You may not be living set apart, but you are. And if you live set apart, you'll go out the camp. You'll be like a Mary. You'll be at the feet of Jesus. You'll have a time with Him that's alone. Everybody will be running around you, and it's like, I'm just zoned right on You, Lord. You know? Just like there'll be times the Lord will come on me to give me something to write about a sermon or something like that. I might be in the middle of a football practice or whatever. You know, I was watching something. Everybody left. I'm gone. Maybe I left. and my body's just there. And I'm serious. You know how that is with God. Let Him take you that way. Let Him bring you into that kind of fellowship. And again, set apart the tent dwellers. Even though we are in this world. Even though we're in this world. Young people, listen to me, really. Even though you're in this world, you're not a part of it. You are not a part of this world. You may act like you're part of it. You may be dwelling in it and a lot of part of it. But you're not part of it. That's not you. You're living the lie again. You're not living into your new creation. That's what God wants us to be. He has that for us. And if we'll allow to yield to that new creation, talk about the mightiness that you'll live in God. But again, that's stepping out in faith. See, we hold back from that because we really don't believe that, do we? That's the truth. Be honest with yourself. You really don't believe that. In a lot of ways, a lot of us don't. That's what keeps us back. We think we have to hold on to these things. We think we have to hold on to certain relationships. Again, because it feels right. Because that defines me. I talk to people that talk about their heritage. Okay? They talk about their jobs or different things. Well, that defines me. If that defines me, I feel sorry for you. Your citizenship's in heaven. You're, by the grace of God, to be the good soldier, you're in the Lord's army. You're not in the world's army. You're in the Lord's army. You know, I'm of this, I'm of that. No, you're of the Lord's. Hallelujah. But the altar of worship lifts up into the heavenly. Everywhere He pitched His tent, He built the altar. It was God first. By faith, He sought the heavenly. Set your affections on the things above. The continuing city is where our citizenship is. And then finally, by faith, they died in faith. And I have to just, in closing, we'll go over to just kind of give you a peek. I'm sure you've peeked over there before. But in the 39th and the 40th verse of this 11th chapter of Hebrew, just listen to this and let this just thrill your heart. If again, you're feeling a little bit low about yourself or a little bit low about things, I hope this would pick you up.
And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. And we're talking about the Moseses here. We haven't even got to, Lord willing. We're going to talk about Samuel. We're going to talk about Joseph. We're going to talk about people that you'd say, man, I really want to meet someday. I mean, I'd really like to sit down with them and, you know, we'll have a talk and, you know, what was Pharaoh really like? And did you really see his face and his army's face when that water was coming? I just, you know, all of those kinds of things. And, you know, we talk silly like that in a way, but, you know, maybe we'll get around to it someday. I'd love to talk to my brothers and sisters of faith and obviously to see a Paul and Ruth and Esther and those that have, you know, just to glory in the Lord. What a time it'll be. I think it'll be eons and eons before we'll ever get to that point. But you know what? We're going to be omniscient and omnipresent just like the King Himself. So can you imagine all the things we can function and do at the same time? It'll just... Well, I got to stop there, don't I? My mind just blew. But all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't receive the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, this is you and me, that they without us should not be made perfect. They're not going to enter into their promise until what is being offered us is fulfilled. The creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. And how much more we should look for our continuing city? Ho ho. New Jerusalem mean anything to you? The bride adorned. She's got her own light. Oh my. The glory of God just radiates all over that woman. It's going to be magnificent, isn't it, sister? Yeah. By the grace of God, we haven't attained, but you know what? He's given us a vision. You're privileged. I'm privileged. We've gotten a glimpse of this. Now, by the grace of God, how could we neglect so great salvation? And that ain't talking about the salvation that you enter in just knowing Him as your Savior. This is talking about the complete salvation. You see where it's going? See how Hebrew just is so beautiful in bringing it together for us. God is preparing for Him a bride for His Son. He's searching for the goodly pearl and He's doing it right now. He's all over this place. He's all over this planet. And it's going to come out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. And by the grace of God, He's finishing it up right now. So Lord willing, we didn't get through all of this, Abram, but we'll get 17 through 19, maybe Lord willing, next week. But let's pray. Thank you, dear God, again for this time. We just so appreciate the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it's precious. You give out the word and it just its sincerity and love and truth and magnifying you, and you increase our faith. And I just thank you again for it, Lord God. I thank you for the vision that you're giving us. Thank you for these people that would come out and to worship together. And to, again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And thank you again, dear Lord, that we can please you. That we can please you. And oh, how it pleases you. Lord, we just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.